So one of the only good things about what's happening right now is that Florida, like, okay, not a good thing. Let's start over. If shit were to go bad like it has been in the last 6 months, it only makes sense that Florida would be the epicenter of the new shit that's going bad, right?
Of course, yeah.
Because Florida's the fucking worst. We all love to hate on Florida because Florida is Florida.
Yes.
So I thought we could go through some Florida man tweets. Naked Florida woman, hairdresser, arrested for performing a sex act in the street, jumping on a couple's Lexus, and throwing a tantrum when the police arrived.
I like how... So, like, a part of me was expecting these to be more, like COVID-related. But they're just playing, thrown through. Like, it's like it doesn't even phase them, you know?
I have no way of proving this, but I'm confident most people in Florida don't know what COVID is.
I think there is a way to prove it. You can look at their cases.
That is very true. Florida man robbed Kmart. Told the police the Illuminati made me do it.
I respect
that one, though.
We gotta hear him out.
Oh, this one, I have only read the first three words, but this is gonna be dark. 17-year-old teen dies after Florida man and Florida woman parents treat her with the Trump drug and unproven remedies for 2 weeks after contracting COVID at a 100-person church gathering.
I did hear about that. I did actually heard about that one. The Florida church got busted for, like, having a bleach IV setup or something.
What?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I will pull it up. Keep reading them. I'll find it.
Florida man, governor, says coronavirus outbreak has stabilized. Oh, that's pretty funny. Florida man, DUI is arrested in his sixth DUI. But the first one with a lawnmower. So that's something.
Cool.
tractor driver killed in crash involving milk truck. That feels semi-normal.
Yeah.
Barefoot Florida man arrested after attempting to flee Walmart in stolen shoe. That feels very normal. That's the Come On Florida Man Twitter account. That's just a dude that needs shoes.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's even better than I thought. I found it.
Yeah.
So this is from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. But there's a Daily Beast article. There's a lot of Fox 13 Florida has a story on it too. Okay, this is a Florida paper, and this is how they start. This is how they start the article. A 62-year-old Brandenton man. So they're basically saying a 62-year-old Florida man is how this starts. And his three sons are facing federal charges in Miami for allegedly peddling a toxic bleach as a cure for COVID-19. These people, I'm not going to read their names, are accused of manufacturing, promoting, and selling their miracle mineral solution as a coronavirus treatment, even though the ingredients that are typically used for industrial water treatment or bleaching textiles, pulp, and paper, according to court documents. They allegedly attempted to avoid government regulation by setting up a company called the Generous 2 Church of Healing and Health. The FBI raided the Generous 2 Church in Brandenton Wednesday and seized ingredients including 50 gallons of muriatic acid, 8,300 pounds of sodium chloride, and 22 gallons of the finished miracle mineral solution product. So
I'm gonna it's kind of incredible. We are not in a worse situation that we're in right now as a country.
Wow.
How about that for a zag?
That's a zag.
Jesus Christ. Lord,
that's the, you know what? That's the glass half full take. We should be more positive.
I am nothing if not an optimist. You know that.
Right. Like, I can't believe we've done this well.
There hasn't been a million deaths. Let's pat us on the back.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking funny. All right. Episode 71. We left you on the cliffhanger to end all cliffhangers in our first episode on Maximum Overdrive. This is part Maximum Overdrive, part two, Maximum Overdriver.
Hey, Stephen King would be proud of that.
He would. Okay. We're going to finish up the summary, and then we'll do our favorite quotes, most valuable things, and whatnot, and our fun facts, of course. Okay. Brief synopsis. A comet has passed by Earth, and all the machines have come to life and are attacking the humans.
Should I just read the opening scroll, and we can cover what happened in the first 90% of the movie?
Yeah, sure, if you have it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh shit, my computer's so slow. I do have it up. I don't have it up. I
okay,
fucking lied.
That's fine. You're a liar. Okay.
I do have it up. Hold on. Oh shit. What's even the point anymore? On June 19th, 1987, at 9:47 a.m. Eastern Time, the Earth passed into an extraordinary diffuse tail of Rhea M. We didn't talk about this first episode. What the fuck is Rhea M? A rogue comet. Oh, that's what it is. What are you drinking today, Eric?
I'm drinking a blended whiskey.
Yeah, that's, sure, that's what it is. We'll call it that.
No, it is. It's a blended whiskey. It's blended between the last couple ounces of my Johnny Walker, White Walker, Game of Thrones stream whiskey, and a different whiskey, because I didn't have enough to make it through the whole episode, so I just poured more of a different, completely different type in.
Okay, Florida man. I'm drinking a red wine of something.
Well, that's better.
A rogue comet. According to astronomical calculations, the planet would remain in the tail of the comet for the next 8 days, 5 hours, 29 minutes, and 23 seconds.
All right.
So you're caught up, listeners. Yeah.
Well, no, not true. We're actually, so we've made it to 7 days left.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So that's what the movie's about. Okay, where we left you, our heroes escaped from the Dixie Boy truck stop, and the trucks took it down. And in a blaze of glory.
Yes, it was like a 3 or 4 minute scene of just trucks destroying a gas station.
Yes. So. Where do they go from here, you may ask? Well, earlier there was a very subtle line dropped by Emilio Estevez regarding an island where there was no trucks, he says, right?
I think just like no cars in general.
Yeah. You can only reach it by boat or whatever. So their plan is to go to the coast, the harbor. I don't know what's in North Carolina. Actually, that's not true. I've been to the beach in North Carolina. I take that back. they go to the beach, and the plan is to get a manual sailboat and go to this island. So they do that. I don't know how to explain it. It just cuts to them at the beach.
Again, this movie could have been 2.5 hours long. They could have showed them getting to the beach, but they didn't. And it takes place in Wilmington?
Yeah, North Carolina. So they want to sail this place. I wrote, the Curtis Rambo subplot is good.
It is subtle in many ways. But it is a key part of the movie, if I do say so myself.
It's one of the only things like that, like, there were like three things I can think of that were like not terrible. The Happy Toys truck, like literally just the look of it. the Curtis is Rambo subplot and Brett. Those would be my three things that aren't. Would you even agree with those? I mean, Brett even has moments too.
She does. The Rambo subplot it's so bad that you think they would make it more obvious, but they didn't. You know, it's a little confusing.
Yeah.
While Brett is overall actually pretty good.
That's true. Okay. This is like their last stand. The ice cream truck, there was an ice cream truck that chased down the kid during his fucking rockin' ride through the neighborhood.
I did not put together that was the same truck.
It must have been, right? I mean,
it must have been.
So they blow that up with all like the guns they smuggled out.
Yeah, Kurt does, you know, with his tank top on that who knows
yeah,
where it came from.
Curtis and his, like, headband. Does he have a headband? It feels like he does in spirit.
Yeah,
he
spiritually at least.
Has the Rambo headband. Okay, the movie's about to end. We are now introduced to a character named Brad.
It's like 2 minutes till the ending.
Yeah.
They could have chosen any known character that like any of the seven or eight left that we know.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
They chose to introduce us to Brad, who steals a ring off a corpse, a diamond ring, which leads to his demise. We're introduced to him and then he immediately dies. He gets run over by the goblin truck, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a line that you know they thought would be famous.
They were hoping every kid would shoot a water gun and yell this line.
Yeah, so Emilio Estevez comes out with the rocket launcher to avenge our fallen comrade Brad, who we did not even know was a comrade until 2 seconds ago.
Is his name in the movie really Brad?
I typed Brad as a fucking idiot, so I think so.
What a weird name for a character.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm hung up on this.
Yeah, so Billy looks at the demon truck, gets on a knee, he gets ready to shoot the rocket launcher at it and kill it for good, and he shouts, "Adios, motherfucker." Just fucking classic.
It's kind of like, I'm kind of into it. It's kind of cool.
Oh, absolutely.
If the rest of the movie was as cool as they were hoping it would be, I think that would have landed.
So then they make their way onto the dock. They get on a sailboat. And then the movie just kind of ends.
And this is my favorite part. It just kind of ends.
We are left with, as they sail off, a closing paragraph appears on the screen. Do you have that? I can probably grab it.
I do have it up.
Okay. Go for it.
2 days after a large UFO was destroyed in space. So I guess Billy was right.
Oh no, he was right. It just there's no explanation for it other than that one throw, like that when he's on his deathbed because he pumped gas, and this paragraph at the very end of the movie.
The only two times anybody ever talked about an alien.
Yeah.
You know what they didn't talk about, though?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're going to say, but yeah.
So a large UFO was destroyed in space by a Russian quote-unquote weather satellite, which happened to be equipped with a laser cannon and a class 6 nuclear missiles. Approximately 6 days later, the Earth passed beyond the tail of Rhea M, exactly as predicted. It pauses for a brief moment, and then it says, the survivors of the Dixie Boys, of the Dixie Boy, are still survivors. Thank Jesus.
And then it ends. It's just, it's so... I can't think of a more perfect ending.
I can't either. I think my favorite part of it is Stephen King had to say that it was exactly as predicted. It was predicted perfectly just because he had to be right in the story he was creating.
It's just, who made this prediction? Who made this prediction? Also, like, what the whole Russian satellite thing is completely just nonsense. The UFO thing was nonsense. It's like, and then, yeah, this, oh God.
Yeah, where did Russian anything come into? It hasn't even been spoken. Like, at least the UFO was mentioned at the beginning.
I frequently think of, like, what would a good version of this movie look like? And I think it starts where the movie ends. If you make it like a survival movie with them on the island.
Oh yeah.
I think
that could be good.
I think
it'd be a whole different movie, but that's probably for the best.
Well, yeah, there's a reason why this movie was terrible. It's because every decision they made was bad.
It was both too long and too short. They could have, if this movie was like a TV show or like 3 hours, it would have made so much more sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. This is like one of the few cases where, because this movie is like 90 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, it's super short.
This is one of the rare cases where it's like not even a long, like, just a 2 hour, 30 more minutes. They could have done a lot with 30 more minutes.
They could have done a lot. Now, granted, they
it was
wouldn't
them.
Have.
Yeah.
They would not have done a lot.
10 of those minutes would have been devoted to Emilio Estevez struggling with a fucking hose.
And the other 20 would have been explosions.
Yeah, explosions. And then, like, what they would have done was they would have added more nonsensical subplots. Like, like it would
and
have been
a graphic... And a graphic sex scene between Emilio Estevez and
Brett.
Yeah,
no, it would have been like Emilio Estevez struggling with the hose, and then like him, he would talk about like the Russians got a weather satellite. Like that would have been a conversation just randomly, and then.
But again, that would have actually made sense because it was.
Yeah. And then like. There had been 10 minutes of... Fucking...
Was the hose just a metaphor?
I think it was. I think there would have been 10 minutes of, like an instrumental Back in Black playing while Emilio Estevez plays, like, tic-tac-toe with Brett. Or something.
Honestly, it's kind of a shame we didn't get that.
I know.
How do you not include every, like, classic AC/DC song in this movie?
It's a rip-off. Riff off, I say. Do you want to get into fun facts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stephen King, when he was coming up with this idea, this genesis, mm-hmm. I don't think that's how you use that word. He wanted Bruce Springsteen to play the part of Bill Robinson, but the producer. It was like, no, we should get an actual actor. I can get Emilio Estevez. So I'm going to do that. And he just overruled Stephen King. And then there's a rumor that Stephen King sent after that was like, I don't give a shit about the movie. I'm going to just do my, I'm not going to try at all. Which would make a lot of sense, but I also don't know if I believe that.
I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it at all.
Because they really thought this movie was going to be good.
Yeah. Here's a fun fact. And this is a fact. A fun fact. Okay, this is not a fun opinion. This movie has the greatest trailer of all time.
Oh, that it does.
It is Stephen King talking in front of the demon truck, hyping up the movie. And I think it's almost, I don't know if it's more effective before or after watching it, but if you watch the trailer after watching it, knowing how bad the movie is, it just makes it a little bit better, I think.
I agree. It's better after.
Yeah. Because it's just, I don't even know how to describe. He's like yelling at the camera.
I think he's also super fucking high.
Well, he was famously very fucking high. This whole scene actually leads me to another fun fact, which there's a rumor that George Romero, who directed Night of the Living Dead, ghost directed part of this movie, if not all of the movie, because Stephen King was like incapacitated because of drugs.
I mean, it makes sense and it doesn't, because a real director would never have been able to make this masterpiece.
That's true. That is true. But yeah, that is another fun fact. Do you have a fun fact?
I do. So we mentioned the lawnmower scene, and we teased it.
Oh, that's right. Actually, we dropped a little teaser there.
We were professionals, and the cinematographer recommended, like the responsible person he is, hey, let's Stephen King, let's remove the blades of the lawnmower because they're not shown in the movie in any way, and they're just unnecessary. But King wanted it to be as realistic as possible. So when they were filming, a wedge splintered and injured the cinematographer so badly he lost his right eye. And he sued the shit out of Stephen King in that movie for $18 million, which is way more than this movie made.
Yeah, I believe... So it lost money at the box office, and that is not even including the money they lost in that lawsuit. I think they officially settled it, so it's we don't know how much he got. I would assume it's less than 18, but still probably more than double digit, you know, millions.
Yeah.
Yeah, the budget was $9 million. In the box office, they made 7.4, and only 3.5 of that was in North America. And then if you deduct what they lost in the lawsuit, this movie I would believe would be classified as a flop.
A goddamn shame.
Mm-hmm. This film won 2 Golden Raspberries. Stephen King won, or was nominated for 2 Golden Raspberries. Stephen King was nominated for Worst Director, and Emilio Estevez was nominated for Worst Actor. But they did not win. They did not win those awards. So there you go.
I take offense to both Stephen King not winning and Emilio Estevez getting nominated. The acting job he did, considering how fucking high he was, is actually pretty fucking impressive, if you ask me.
No, you're right.
The dude was like, he didn't know what was up from down, and he was still delivering the performance of his life.
Yeah.
Stephen King was the harshest critic of this movie, as we mentioned earlier. He once said, a moron movie, like Splash. You check your brains at the box office and come out 96 minutes later and pick them up again. People say, how do you like the movie? And you can't say much. It's not like it's 2001 Space Odyssey. It is not Stephen King. You're right about that.
Yeah, it is not. one of possibly Kubrick's masterpiece. No, it is not that. The Happy Toys Goblin Truck is a regular visitor at horror festivals. It is was. Oh, what? Hold on. Sorry, I did not see this when I pulled it when I got this fact ready. You can follow its adventures on Twitter. It has a Twitter account?
Holy shit, that's a game changer.
It does have a Twitter account, and there's a man with a lot of makeup on on the header, and it has 500 followers. Like 501 followers. Well, I'm sorry, I was not prepared for this. Yes, the goblin truck. It looks like it's just the head. But it goes to like horror festivals and Comic Con sort of like things, stuff like that.
I'm glad it has that sort of following. It makes me feel good about this movie.
It looks like so. It is the original. Some guy bought the original and he restored it, so it looks kind of new. But yeah, no, it's the real thing.
All right, so before we did this podcast, I watched a YouTube video of this movie and all of its deaths. Okay. And I want you to guess how many kills did we see on screen? And something wonderful about this movie, this YouTube video, is they counted the machine deaths as well. So how many do you think there were
on screen? How many on-screen deaths? God.
On-screen kills.
On-screen kills. I don't even know. I mean... Does it count, like, the bridge ones in the beginning?
It's counting all dead people.
Like, 15?
45.
45?
45, which is one kill per 2 minutes.
Well, I guess so. No, okay, now thinking about it. So the Little League team... That's the whole team right there.
Cranks it up. And driving and riding the bike through the neighborhood also cranks it up quite a bit.
Yeah. Jesus, that is crazy. Oh, what? Okay, this is another fun fact. The voice of Lisa Simpson is in it.
Really?
I don't know who she is, though. Now I have to...
I knew, like, the Simpsons, like, referenced it.
I will find... I don't recognize her. Oh, wait! Oh, my God. I think I do recognize her. I just want to confirm. Yes, I do recognize her. Holy shit. I mean, do you want to guess who she is based on my reaction?
Is she the kid?
No.
Who is she?
Lisa Simpson.
Yeah, no shit, Lisa. Who is she in Maximum Overdrive, though?
Connie.
No, she's not Connie. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what to say. I legitimately didn't even, yeah, because like everyone talks like it was a Simpson episode was named Maximum Homer Drive.
Yeah, which
I knew, but I didn't see that she was in this, because this was right before The Simpsons. The Simpsons debuted in 87. Well, that's when it was like featured as part of the Tracy Ullman show, which is where it started, and then it got its own show from that. But she was like working on it, I guess, on the set.
I feel like I need to rewatch the movie.
That is too much. I had no idea.
I'm speechless. That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm sending you a clip of her at the top of her Wikipedia page, but you can see a picture of her.
Wow.
That is, I'm sorry, this is terrible podcasting, but I am flabbergasted. I don't even know what to do with my hands.
I've never been this speechless before. Oh my God. Okay. Let's just move on.
Okay.
I can't comment on this until next episode. the bridge scene we've mentioned. At one point, a woman dies by watermelon. And that woman is Donald Trump's second wife, which is something.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. There's connections all over the place in this.
Man, good for Gertrude Smith, you know? Because she was never going to make it as an actor, let me tell you that. she found her lane on The Simpsons. Good for her.
This has changed new meaning to the lines, "Curtis, is he dead?" That's Lisa.
That's fucking Lisa. One of the most iconic TV characters of all time.
There's a quote from, I believe this is one of the producers. He was saying, like, I remember talking with her at some point near the end of production. She was telling me about some little animated thing she was going to be doing on the Tracy Ullman show. It sounded odd, but, you know, it turned out to be The Simpsons.
It's wild. The biggest TV show of all time. And she was on Maximum Overdrive, the biggest movie of all time.
That's like do you listen to the podcast You Must Remember This?
No, I don't.
It's pretty good. I recommend it. It's about this, like, she used to be like a movie critic, which is kind of like a movie historian. And she's also a big Dodger fan. But she does like deep dives on she does like mini series on the podcast, is supposed to, like, the forgotten history of the first century of Hollywood is like the premise. So she deep dives different things, and the one she's doing right now is on Polly Platt, who is like a producer, but she's one of those behind the scenes people who's been involved in like a way more shit than she's ever been given credit for. She's one of those people. But she introduced, it's kind of one of those things where she like didn't officially make the introduction, but like she gifted someone at the studio who was producing the Tracy Ullman show, which is where like The Simpsons were tagged on as like a short and then eventually got their own thing. She was like a big fan of Matt Groening's comics that he did in like the paper. So she like, as a gift, she gave that producer like one of like a printout of it, and like that's how he was introduced to Matt Groening, and then eventually like he met Matt Groening, and then the Simpsons, eventually that relationship turned into The Simpsons. She's one of those people, but it's like really random. Like, she's like helped on all these movies, and then it's like, oh yeah, she kind of like helped The Simpsons happen just as an afterthought.
That's like,
yeah.
Yeah, if she doesn't do that, The Simpsons might not have existed.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because it's like such a, like, imagine, oh, like our world, like if The Simpsons don't exist, our world is different.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like television is completely different, but even more than that, just our world is different.
Yeah.
Such a cultural piece of the of our culture.
Yeah.
Not a good line.
No, you stuck the landing though.
Thank you. Much like this movie did.
Much like this movie. Do you have any other fun facts?
No, Matt.
Yeah, I don't really have any. I don't have any. I was just double checking. Okay. What was your favorite quote?
My favorite quote is Wanda yelling, "You can't do that! We made you!"
Wanda, no! God damn it, ignore me!
We made you!
Wanda, no! Get back!
Did you understand?
Wanda, no!
You can't do this! We made you!
We made you!
It's like,
while jumping up and down.
I mean, I'm gonna cut it in, but like, your impression is like too closer than it should be.
I feel like I'm way over exaggerating.
But you're right.
I'm not.
Mine is the iconic line, "Adios, motherfucker."
Adios, motherfucker.
Honestly, there's like 20 lines I feel guilty leaving out of this movie.
Me too. Adios, motherfucker. Curtis, is he dead? That's just a great line. We got a situation here. That's a great line. Yo mama.
Yo mama. Well, that was a lifetime ago. Yo mama. That made it in the movie. Which is like, if you take that whole those like two scenes of him in the movie, nothing changes. There's not a single thing that changes in the movie if he's not in it.
Correct. Yeah.
And they threw it in there just because they were thinking, hey, this is sexist, but it's not racist enough.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yep. They nailed it. They stuck the landing. What was your most valuable thing in the movie?
I think it was the excess of the slow motion explosions. There were a countless number. It's tough to say between, like, there is like just the slow motion shots, the explosion shots, oftentimes they're combined, and it was a parody level amount. If SNL did something like this, you'd be like, that's unrealistic. But it was not for this movie.
Yeah. It's like I said, which is funny because I referenced The Simpsons, so I had no idea. But yeah, like how there's things will just catch fire when they don't need to. And that's what this movie felt like. My most valuable thing, and I swear this was before I even knew it, but I wrote Connie.
You're a Connie fan, if nothing else.
Like, every time, it's like everything out of her mouth is just so absurd.
Yeah, her like line hit ratio is crazy.
Yeah.
Every time she speaks, I laugh a little bit.
Yeah, because they just did like such a. She's just like. They made her such a terrible stereotype. It's just like, it's just so funny how bad a job they did.
All the women in this, all the like, with like, who's the character in this movie? You have Connie, who yells and nags the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Wanda.
Brett, who's like a sex figure and who's a sex figure and just cool, you know? And then you have Wanda, who goes crazy.
Right.
Like the three worst—I don't know about worst—but the three main stereotypes of women are that, and that is all three of those characters.
Yeah. No. Exactly. That's like
it's incredible.
Like I find like when I'm laughing at what Connie's saying, it's like, get the fuck out of here! You did not make her say that. It's like every time she opens her mouth, that's why it's like, no fucking way. You did not.
At one point, they're like driving away from a car, a truck, and Curtis is driving, and she's like, "Oh, why did I let you get behind the wheel?" When they're like driving away for their life.
Yeah. Oh God. Curtis, is he dead? Now I'm just gonna imagine Lisa Simpson saying, "Curtis, is he dead?"
Incredible.
All right. What a movie. Highly recommend. Just because
you might be thinking to yourself right now, I just listened to a 2-part podcast on this movie.
Right.
I don't need to watch it. You're wrong.
You're absolutely wrong. We left out a lot of great stuff.
We did. And the stuff we did talk about, we did not do justice.
No. It's like, I think they tried to make a horror movie. And what they made was one of the greatest comedies of all time. Unintentionally.
But no question.
If you're willing to buy into the laughs, it is a riot, let me tell you. I saw, like, I think on Amazon it's categorized as like a black comedy or something like that, and I'm like, fuck off. Like,
no.
You're just trying No.
This movie was not supposed to be funny.
No, it was supposed to be a fucking horror. It was supposed to be a very scary movie. As Stephen King says in the trailer, "I'm gonna scare the hell out of you." As he's coked out of his mind, yelling at the fucking camera in his movie trailer.
Who gave him the power to make this movie? And how did he not make another movie? The Great Tragedy. Tragedy. Oof.
Yeah, I see why it was made, like, at the time. Like, I think his pitch was the same pitch he made in the trailer, which is that, like, that's, I'm going to do Stephen King right. It's like kind of what's
that's true. If I were like a head of a studio, especially, I'd get King.
Especially in 86, even now, like, he's still, they're still making Stephen King books, films. So I see it. I just, you know. But yeah, you're right. He had no qualifications for this. I know that was quite clear. That was clear from, I mean, all the plot was in writing, because he's a writer. It was the two paragraphs
but
we got.
Not good writing.
Yeah. He had no idea what the fuck he was doing, and like you said, he was coked out of his mind. Okay. Do you have anything else to add to this movie?
No, I think that's a wrap.
Alright. I'll just leave it at watch it, and you'll see. Watch it for Lisa Simpson, if nothing else.
I can't believe that.
I'm still shaken to my core. Alright, fuck this thing. I'll go first. My fuck this thing is Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because they gave this movie a 15%. And let me tell you, that's absurd.
I'm
going
to be
absurd.
Honest, I was expecting it to be lower than that.
Fucking absurd. 15% is just disrespectful. This is a masterpiece. We were watching
the GOAT movie?
It's absurd. Urban Cowboy had like 60, by the way, just for reference.
No, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, 15 fucking percent. The audience score 50%. Even that feels wrong and disrespectful. I honestly don't see how you walk out of this movie not.
I figured like
smiling.
The cult of this movie would raise that.
It does have a bit of. It does have a cult.
I don't either. Sure. How do you not enjoy this movie? If you don't enjoy this movie on some level, I don't know how. Like, I kind of. I don't think I would like. We'd get it along, you know.
Like, it's obviously problematic in so many ways, but, like, it's to the point where it's such a disaster that you just have to point and laugh at it. You're not laughing with them.
No. No, you are not laughing with these people.
No.
Absolutely not.
You are laughing at them, and if you can't, like, if you just, you're so caught up that you can't just laugh at how bad this is, then I don't know what to say. It's just, I said this to you before. I would probably rather watch this movie than like 90% of movies ever made. And I stand by that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You've won me over on this. I will never not say yes to watching this movie.
it's just it's such a great time. You're jamming out to tunes, even though you shouldn't be. Those tunes don't fit the movie at all, but you're rocking out. It's very 80s, and yeah. So fuck you, Rotten Tomatoes, 15%. Get out of here.
My fuck this thing is dog owners shouldn't complain about fireworks.
You're joking.
No, my real fuck this thing is people that say please and thank you after asking for something. Why are you saying thank you? I haven't done your goddamn thing yet.
Oh,
say
and they're
please
like
before you ask.
Like, oh, could you grab that please and thank you?
Yeah. You're implying I'm going to do it. I haven't decided yet, you fucking asshole. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's just a douchey thing to say. I agree. You know that you can just trigger me if you just keep saying the same fuck this thing over and over, and I hate it.
It will never stop. You recommended off air that I put an X to something I've already done so I don't repeat it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put an X to things so I know to repeat it.
I fucking hate you. You're evil. The baby carrots one was so fucking funny. I was laughing so
That's
hard.
That's what it is, that. Baby carrots.
Yeah.
I don't think that ever made air, though. Oh, man. Fuck baby carrots, though.
No, baby carrots made air. You don't have to say it again.
Okay, well, we're going to do it again. Fuck baby carrots. What? Just be a fucking carrot. What's the point?
I distinctly remember we talked you down from that. You changed it. You redacted it. And now you're back. You're right back.
I did. Oh, shit.
You were pretty high, though.
Now I'm kind of... I'm stuck now. I don't know which way to go.
My favorite part of doing the high podcasts we did was that, like, about 20 or 30 minutes in, I just saw you, like, close your eyes and lean back in your chair, and I knew you just got hit, and I was like, oh, no.
I don't remember a goddamn thing from that.
I believe it. You were out of your mind.
I think you texted, somebody texted the group chat the next day about my Thursday take, and I had no recollection. I was like, oh, I did say that.
Oh, yeah, I just saw you just, like, close your eyes, and you just lead back, and I was like, in hindsight, it would have been really funny if I just went to you there, but I thought we got you enough when we called you out on your fucking fuck this thing and made you just say fuck baby carrots. Because you could barely get it out. It was so funny.
Was I just laughing? I genuinely don't remember.
Well, you said some shit that you said, like, on the episode before, and so I was like, no, you can't do that. And then we all decided that we were just going to stare at you until you said something. And then you got, like, the giggles, and so you couldn't get anything out, and then you just finally got, like, fuck baby carrots, I think they are stupid.
Then it changed my fucking mind.
Yeah,
a mess.
We talked you down immediately. Almost immediately.
Fuck you, baby carrots.
Yeah. My mom was like, Squink was like he was on all the episodes.
Yeah.
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 And then I think she asked me, like, when was the last time you talked to Squake when he wasn't high? And I was like, that's a good point. I don't know.
Sophomore year of college, maybe?
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. All right. Okay, I think we did it. I think we did Maximum Overdrive. I think we did Justice. Fuck Rotten Tomatoes and fuck, what was your stupid fuck this thing?
Please and thank you people.
Please and thank you people. Fuck those people.
I kind of had three fuck this things this episode.
What were they?
Because baby carrots, fuck this, and
Thursdays?
The one I said. And the one I said last episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't even remember what that was. it's not important. All right, we're done. Thank you for listening.
What a train wreck.
Stay drunk, everyone.
Stay drunk.